Anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Then looking further in Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message is gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. All of Psalm 19. And then the final passage we want to look at this point, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Johnnies and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Johnnies and Jambres. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach. and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Verses 1 through 17, all of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful and the precious and the blessed gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us every day of being able to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you. But thank you for the opportunity, along with that, to be able to come to you in prayer every day, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you for all of us that we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for all those that make up our listening family. Father, flood us afresh with the spirit of grace, peace, and mercy, and anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be, individually and collectively. And Father, more and more, teach us how to pray. Empower us to fully be the faithful praying church that you've called us to be. And help us to know, Lord, that so many important things in your kingdom will happen, will come to pass as your people pray in faith, fully expecting you to hear and answer our prayers. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to take a moment to praise you, to say you are good. You are the great, mighty God that made heaven and earth. You separated the dry land from the sea, and you placed man in a garden, and you made a way for us to come back to your love. Father, you are the standard for love. You don't just ask us to go in love in return, but you are the example. You have shown us exactly how to walk in perfect love. Thank you so much, Father. And Father, your kindness and your righteousness is awesome. It's so great. Father, we need to spend more time in scriptures seeking for truth, seeing more about your character and seeing about how you love even those who rebel and are living against you, Father. That even when we rebel, even in my own darkest moments, you still love me. Thank you so much. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, on a pretty regular basis, as you listen to the Hour of Intercession, you may be reminded that we often are encouraging you to set the habit, the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every single day. You know, I want to remind you that that's no little thing, because remember this, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're spending time in the Word of God, you're spending time one-on-one with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We live in a world where people are always looking for Christ. They're looking for Jesus. They're looking for God. You can always find Jesus in His Word, because He is the Word. So stay in God's Word every day. And as you shoot for doing at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, if you decide, well, 3 chapters isn't enough, that you need more, wonderful. You can't get too much Word. But also, parents, remember, we need to be helping our children fill up their hearts and their minds with your word. So having them to read out loud to you every day, parents, is so, so important and so very, very productive as well. And remember, God has spent as much time with you as you'll spend with him in his word. Hope that you'll do that. We're very, very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Dr. Madeline Manning Mims. She is an author of the book, The Hope of Glory: The Resurgence of a Matriarchy, And she is a four-time Olympian gold and silver medalist in track and field. Dr. Madeline, how are you today?
I am wonderful, and thank you so much for the prayers and for the word of God going forth. A lot of times, you know, I'm on different podcasts and interviews and that type of thing, and people don't stop to acknowledge the core reason why we're talking, and that's about Jesus. He says, if I be lifted up, then I will draw. And we forget about that. We just go right into whatever has to be said or shared. Mm-hmm. And so I want to personally thank you. I was listening to the words that you were saying from the Word of God. My mom, when I was a little girl, used to have us sit and read the Bible. My sister and brother, they weren't that interested, but I was. And I think it really changed how I looked at life. Mm-hmm. We lived in the projects. We didn't have a whole lot. But I knew there was more. And why, mm-hmm. at such a young age, did I know this? It's because of the Word of God that I kept hearing. Mm-hmm. Then I realized that this is not just a book. This is what the Holy Bible is not just a book. Mm-hmm. When you open it and begin to read from it, you're hearing God speak to you. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people want to know, you know, how do you hear from God? How do you talk with God? Maybe the relationship starts with the Word of God. And after you have accessed the very salvation of God through Jesus Christ, the Word becomes very alive to you. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage and I occur with both Isaac and Pastor Joseph about being faithful to open that word. You might say, hey, listen, I don't have time to read no three chapters today. Listen, start with a little and let the Holy Spirit just slowly pick you, because your hunger, you'll get hungry. Mm-hmm. For more of God's word, to hear him more. When he starts talking to you very clearly, you'll know, oh, that's him, that's not me, that's not the devil, that's not somebody else. That is God, mm-hmm. and the relationship will grow from there.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Madeline. Really do appreciate that. And you know, that interesting you touch on that, you know, when you have a hunger for God's word, interesting how that, as you fill your heart with the word and try to satisfy that hunger, it'll make you hungrier. You're not going to get satisfied. You're going to get even more hungry, and that's a good thing. So thank you for sharing that. So, well, I want to ask Dr. Madeline again if you'll further introduce yourself. And again, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Now, again, I mentioned you're a four-time Olympian gold and silver medalist in track and field. I think it would probably be helpful if you explain to our listeners what that really means. And if we don't finish on this side of the break, we'll pick up on the other side, because, again, that's an interesting title, kind of a long title, but it all means something. So can you kind of unpack that for us?
Yes. Simply, a four-time Olympian means that you have been a member of four Olympic teams here in the United States, and you have represented the country at the Olympic Games in one of the sports of the Olympics. And so I was in 1968, 1972, 1976, and on the 1980 Olympic team as a participator. So that's what it means by four times. Gold and silver means that exactly what it says. It means that I won a gold medal and I won a silver medal in two of the four Olympic Games that I actually participated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the sport of track and field. My specific event was the 800 meters, which is known as an middle distance run.
Okay. We're going into a break and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Again,
okay,
our phone guest today is Dr. Madeline Manning Mims. We'll be right back.
is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near. Brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm. Yeah. Brings hope when I'm hopeless. Yeah, protects me from my harm. And
music from the Walls Group with All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Madeline Manning Mims. Again, she's a four-time Olympian gold and silver medalist in track and field, and she's also the author of the book, The Hope of Glory, The Resurgence of a Matriarchy. So, Dr. Madeline, if you'll pick up where you left off, you were kind of summarizing again the full meaning of the four-time Olympian, and you explain that. If you'll kind of, I'll let you just pick up where you left off, okay?
Sure. I was explaining my event. My event was the 800 meters and the 4x400 relay. The 800 meters at the time that I first ran it was the longest race for women, and so they called it a distance run. The myth at that time was that women of color could not run long distances because they had only fast twitch muscles, that they could run really fast, but they did not have the endurance. Well, thank God that he gave me the gift and the coach to break that myth. So when I won, I was about 50 meters ahead of my competition. Mm-hmm. I was probably, at this time, a very young girl, 20 years old, in college as a sophomore, mm-hmm. and doing something that had never been done before in the world. And so I became the first American woman, period, to win a gold medal for the United States. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's amazing from where God brought me from a tiny little project apartment all the way to the top. I sometimes think of that and I think, like, wow, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost like looking at another person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what I try to explain in the book. The book is about my life story, mm-hmm. and the troubles and the trials and how I came up through a hard situation, and mm-hmm. yet God was always there with me, well, and making plans and had a purpose for me being born into this world, just like everybody else, just like you. Mm-hmm. You know, we all are born with a purpose and a plan for our lives by God, which is so unique to realize.
Well, you know, Dr. Madeline, well, I'm going to ask, would you do this now? on the one hand, by God's grace, again, you're a four-time Olympian gold and silver medalist and an mm-hmm. athlete, and some listeners might be thinking to themselves, well, I'm never going to get anywhere close to being in the Olympics. But on the other hand, all of us have challenges whereby we're to learn to take our faith in Jesus Christ and walk
yeah.
it out. And so I'm going to ask, would you take time now to pray for our listeners to really have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to them? Because not only will they get to hear about your journey, the Holy Spirit wants to teach them about how to put their faith to work in their own journey as well. Would you pray for them at this time?
I certainly will. Listen, what I want you to understand is that God loves you even before you knew yourself. As yet you were a substance in your mother's womb, Psalms 139 says this. As you were yet a substance, God saw you and wrote down your name in his book of life, that when you would come forth into the earth, that you would bring forth the gifts, the talents, the promises of God. All of that is there for you. So, Father, I pray that you would make this known to your children today. Help them to understand that your love goes far beyond what they can even imagine, ask for, or even think of. And help them to receive not just my testimony, but their testimony that I'm alive because somebody loved me that much and has made things purposely in a certain way, a certain direction, according to his will, and that is God Almighty. Lord, we release ourselves to you right now. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, by your way of doing it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, again, your book is entitled The Hope of Glory, The Resurgence of a Matriarchy. Not necessarily now, but at some point, I want you to explain why you gave the book your title when you get to that, okay?
Okay. Well, I could do it now if you want me to.
Okay, that's fine.
Since we're right there. I was reading my word, and I came upon this word in Colossians 1:27, where Christ in us is the hope of glory. And I began to just kind of meditate on that, and I thought, that's my life. That really is my life. If I looked at the hopeless situation that I was brought up in, when I was 3 years old, I had spinal meningitis, and the enemy meant to kill me. He meant to take me out before I could even get started well. And I thank God for a praying mom, because she actually prayed and gave me back to the Lord and said, if you give me my baby back, I promise to raise her up in the ways of the Lord the best way I know how. And I'm so thankful that she did, because it saved my life. The next morning when the doctors came in to re-diagnose me and see if I was, you know, any better or any worse, they said to her, we don't know what's happened, but your daughter is 50% better than what she was yesterday. But we're sorry to tell you this. Now, this was their diagnosis. If she makes it, she will be not able to do what the normal child does, physically or mentally. And so they just did not give her a good report. But she knew if God had kept me and kept me alive through the night, that he had a plan for my life. And that she kind of just looked at him and said, and let him walk out the door. And when she was telling me this when I got older, I was like, wow, Mom, thanks for saving my life by going to God and giving me back to him.
Well, you know, Dr. Madeline, in a sense, the doctors are right. You're not like the normal child. You excel them. You excel.
That's true. I think they prophesy without knowing it, because I have never been like the normal child, even though it took 14 years for me to grow out of that sickness. But during that time, God was using, he had just turned what was evil into good. He had given me the opportunity to learn how to drive, to learn how to keep going, to become an overcomer. You know, there were many times I was sick and I would have to come in and get shots, and it was terrible. But then I learned, you know, if I don't come in, if I just did what I had to do, if I had to throw up or whatever, just go behind a bill and do it and just keep on playing. But see, that kept giving me strength. It kept empowering my little body that was very frail. But then I was discovered in high school through the physical fitness plan that they had as an athlete. And then they put me in three different sports, and basketball and volleyball and track. And track, I really excelled. And within 1 year, I was the top 400-meter runner in the world. It's just amazing what God can do. But that's what the book is all about. You know, it tells about that, and it's leading toward a film of my life story, you know, to leave the legacy of God's workmanship on my life, knowing that he prepared me in advance through the hard times, through good times, whatever. So I praise God for that.
That's good. Now, you know, let me just mention this, Dr. Madeline, and I'm going to ask if you wish to expound on this further, but it's very helpful for believers to understand what the word hope actually means, because I think often in our culture, people misunderstand it in the, because often for people in our culture, they think of hope as being sort of a weak wish. But in reality, a much more accurate understanding of the Bible word hope is great expectation. And I think it's helpful for believers. So anything further you want to share about that in as it relates to the title of your book?
Right. Well, as I understood it from Colossians, you know, God had done some wondrous things before we even knew about it. And the hope of what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
As we have relationship through his blood, we have been redeemed to become what he prepared us to become from the very get. You know, it's wonderful to know that God has plans for us. I mean, geez, nobody could have told me that one day I'd be an Olympic gold medalist. Top of the world. I lived in the projects, okay? Who believes that? You know, nobody, everybody's stepping on each other, trying to get up and going nowhere. And yet God has this plan for this little child who is very sickly, and he's just doing things his way. So hope is not, oh, I hope that this turns. No. That's a wish. That's not hope. Hope is a person. Hope is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that believeth in me shall not die. You shall not die. You shall live forever in my presence, in my hope that you have. That's a living hope. That's a live hope. That's a real hope. And so when people even pray, say, you know, I'm praying for you, I'm like, okay. Are you praying in the hope of Christ Jesus? Or are you just hoping that he hears you while you pray?
And it's so important that we do pray with that, with great expectation of him hearing and following through with that. You know, your story makes me think a little bit about the story of Gideon in the Bible, in the book of Judges, who, when an angel first approaches Gideon, he calls him a mighty man of valor. Gideon's thoughts are thinking to himself, who is he talking to? Because he's, as the angel is speaking to him, he's very fearful of getting caught as he's simply threshing out food for his family to eat. Well, but he had to put his faith and trust in God, that God would use him to help deliver his people. And he began to walk out the faith that that angel spoke to him about. And again, it's powerful to look at just how, as God did in your life, God has a glorious future for all who would genuinely put their faith and trust in him and follow him as well. So, Would you?
I love that story. I used to teach Bible at a school here. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Metro Christian Academy is a school that where I taught for, I think, about 3 years. And we used to take the Word of God and do plays. My kids were judged on how well they knew the play, so, but it was fun. And we did that whole thing on Gideon. Of course, Gideon had a hard time believing that God would call him to do anything. You know, I'm from one of the smallest tribes, and our people aren't that big or strong. In fact, I'm down here in the wine press hiding, treading out the wheat so we'd have something to eat. But then he tested God. Ask God. And, I would like to say that to anyone that's listening. God's not afraid of your testing him because he's God. But I'm telling you this. Once you do, that you will know that he is God, and then it's on you whether you're going to accept him or not. But that's what Gideon found himself doing, testing God. Well, okay, if you do this, then I'll go down there. But God's so good and so loving. Mm-hmm. He loves us so much as his kids. When he sees our hearts are not trying to challenge him, but asking him, Lord, please, can you please show me, just help me? And he will.
Mm-hmm.
He'll surprise you in a way you haven't thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do it.
And you know, it really is, Dr. Madeline, so powerful for us to recognize that God does have a glorious future for every believer. Our job is to trust him and to walk it out. Everyone's journey is different, but there's glory in the future of everyone as we obey. But we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. Madeline Manning Mims. We'll be right back. The music of Covenant Church with My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Madeline Manning Mims. She is a 4-time Olympian gold and silver medalist in track and field, and she's the author of the book, The Hope of Glory, The Resurgence of a Matriarch. And Dr. Madeline, would you share with our listeners, if someone who's listening wants to get a copy of the book, The Hope of Glory, tell them how they can do that.
They can easily go onto my website, and it's www.madelinemims, MadelineMims.com, and they'll be able to get it there. It's just newly put out, so it may not be even up. I've been on the road, but it will be there for them to pick up from there.
Okay. All righty. Would you take time now specifically to pray for families and praying for families to take the great work of family discipleship much more seriously in our culture?
Yes. I'm so thankful. As I shared a little earlier, my mother was quite the prayer warrior, and she beautifully prayed over my life, and that was so important that parents take time to pray with their children, read the Bible with their children, let them read to their parents as well, like I did when I was small. I think that's why I understood things that maybe I shouldn't have understood at such a young age, because the Holy Spirit was bringing that to life for me. So, Father, I pray that you would stir the hearts of the parents today, the mom, the dad. Daddy, it's so important that you pray with your children, that they hear you pray for them. I pray in the name of Jesus that they will be stirred to read the word, to their children, to have their children read the word for themselves, like saying, baby, what does this say? God is speaking now. What is he saying here? Help them to understand that God can speak to them at a very young age, because God will come right behind that and show them in their own way himself through the word of God. Father, we just pray that this be the desire that you have in the parent's heart. And I pray, I thank you, Lord, that I was able to go to a church that had a Sunday school for kids. In fact, that's where I learned the 23rd Psalms, that the Lord was my shepherd, and I didn't have to be in need or in want. Father, I pray that just like you met me when I was a little girl and showed me the picture of the great shepherd and all the big fat sheep that are around him, and in his arms he was holding a little lamb. On my car, that lamb happened to be a black lamb, and I connected, and I asked, can he hold me like this? And the teacher said, yes, he can. And we prayed and began to realize that God's hand was on my heart and that he was real. So I ask, Father, that you make yourself real to the children, make yourself real to the parents, grandparents. What a wonderful opportunity we have to ask our grandchildren to read to us. They think they're doing something big, but they are much bigger than what they thought they were doing. So we pray this in the name of Jesus, that that would happen all across our nation, in every area, in every culture, in every area that you call forth. Let your word go forth over them, that they may be saved by the power of the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, to thank you for the wonderful privilege and opportunity we as believers within our homes and our families have of being able to do the work of discipleship, obviously both within our homes, but beyond our homes as well. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, who is our divine tutor, to live a lifestyle of discipleship, living it, being disciples, and making disciples. And help us to take joy in discipling our children and pointing our children to your word and to you, and helping them learn that life is made to be lived in the fullness of your Spirit and your glory. And help us to learn how to do that and to teach our children. Help us to, by the power of your Spirit, just by your grace, set them on fire with your Holy Spirit. Let them go out into the world and burn for you. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Madeline, one more thing I'm going to ask. Would you pray for the church in regard to this issue, too? Now, I'm thinking in relation to the title of your book, The Hope of Glory. That's a hope for every individual believer, but it's a hope for the church as well. The glory of God is one of those things. We're still trying to define it, but it's the bigness of God, the power of God, the greatness of God, the goodness of God, so many things. Would you pray for the church to, again, take discipleship more seriously, but also seek to walk out that hope of glory as well?
Yes, yes, yes. In entering into prayer on this one, I remember talking to my pastor during the pandemic situation where the churches were closed, the schools were closed, everything was closed down. That I called him and I said, you know what? I think God just kicked us out the church to make us the church. Mm-hmm. And what he did, he closed the doors to the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So that the church would go out in the world where they're supposed to be to make opportunity to reach out and share the love of Jesus in a very practical way. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, we've got to figure out how to reach the world. Our neighbors right beside us, across from us, down the street from, we don't say anything to them. I don't know if we're afraid or not. And so I began to pray, and I said, Father, how do I do this? You know, first of all, to go up and just ring somebody's doorbell, you know, they're not going to be very, very comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, Madeline, you have a voice. I want you to release my praise in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, are you talking about just go out in the middle of the street and start singing? And he didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I got this idea to set up my garage
mm-hmm.
and have a place where people could hear me singing. And I put a cute little placard in my grass in the front yard that says, Merry Christmas, everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, Sunday at 2:00 in the afternoon, you'll have a concert for Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
And people would drive by and look and walk by and like, what? But during that time, all of a sudden, I saw people lining up,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming with their cars, lining up to hear. And I began to sing the very story of the birth of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And had a beautiful audience. I mean, people were looking out their blinds like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
People were waving at me from down the street. People were honking horns like, yay, you know. And I thought, you know what? This is so easy
mm-hmm.
to just be obedient, to disciple others and love on others and share the love of Jesus. And just ask the Lord, ask him, Father, mm-hmm. we ask you today, how do you want us to share as the redeemed, as the church?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want us to share with the world about salvation, about Jesus, about the blood of the Lamb? How do you want us to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Show us your way, your desire, your creativity. That is the hope of glory that is within us. We will hear, listen, and obey. In the grocery store, in the laundromat, walking down the street, in the elevator, whatever and wherever you put us,
mm-hmm.
we ask for us to help fulfill that assignment that we have in our lives mm-hmm. that you have called us to. We say, yes, Lord, forgive us for making excuses. Forgive us for countering old ways. Just do it your way.
Yes.
Have your way in us, oh God, we pray. Use us. We are your church. We are the body of Christ.
Thank
we
you,
are. You. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making this possible.
Yes, Lord.
And we say yes to your will, yes to your way. We won't look back. We will keep our eyes straight on Jesus and do what the Holy Spirit, as he leads each step that we take. In this day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Dr. Madeline, our time is just about gone. One more thing I want to ask you to pray for. Pray for young people today, children and youth. Would you pray for them in the next 60 seconds or so, please?
Yes, Father. For them you died. For them you came and fulfilled the necessity of ridding this world of sin by taking it upon yourself and giving us your righteousness. Lord, the children don't understand this today. They don't understand what's going on, what that means, or they haven't heard, as their parents haven't heard. Their grandparents have barely heard. Lord, we need your intervention so we open up the portals of this earth, and we invite you in, into the lives of these children, into the lives of the unborn that are coming forth. We call for protection over the unborn those who are in the hearts of they're in your hearts. You're calling them forth. However they get here, you've called them forth. And Father, we ask that you just protect them as they come forth, and help the children understand the reality of truth in Jesus Christ, because right now they don't know you. So many just don't know you. Help us to help them to do our part as we partner with you, Holy One. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Madeline. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day to make that step. If you'd like to commit your heart and life to the Lord and be saved today, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins and all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent. And I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to connect with you. If you just prayed and gave your life to Christ, we'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and grow deep in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. Let us share that information with you. We'd like to be in touch with you and know how to further pray for you as well. So please email us so we can share that resource material with you. Once again, the email, joseph@afr.net. Dr. Madeline, thank you again so much for being with us. One more time, if someone wants to get the book, The Hope of Glory, The Resurgence of a Matriarch, tell them how they can do that.
www.madeline, M-A-D-E-L-I-N-E, Mims, M-I-M-S.com.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right, please pray much for Dr. Madeline and the ongoing witness and work the Lord has called her to. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.